On Robinhood Radio, it's time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage. David is a multimedia journalist with an online column at themediabeat.com and has reported since 2012 for the PBS network, mainly on ethical issues. He is also the author of a memoir, A Question of Paternity, Life as an Unaffiliated Reporter.
This is David Tereshchuk with the Media Beat for the weekend beginning July 11th, 2025. Coming to you this time, once again, from the media capital of the world, New York City. By now, the rest of the country has been fully regaled with coverage and analysis of the remarkable political upset that just recently happened in this, my hometown. Within the framework of a Democratic Party primary, Zoran Mamdani was chosen to be the party's candidate for mayor in the fall. It's often the case, and there's reason to believe this year will be no different, that the Dems candidate will win the office. This is a very democratic city, after all. So this year, it's a bit complicated. The incumbent mayor, Eric Adams, originally elected 4 years ago as a Democrat, is now running again, but as an independent, having been disgraced with federal corruption charges laid against him, though subsequently dropped by the Trump administration's Department of Justice, if we can still call it that. Democrats nationally and all the organs of communication that see it as their job to advise the Democratic Party's decision-makers on just what they should do have been in a tumult over Mamdani's thunderbolt of a victory. Specifically, what it might mean for nationwide elections, be they early in the 2026 midterms or further ahead in the 2028 presidential contest. Unsurprisingly, conservatives, and I include Donald J. Trump and his supporters, have appeared decidedly rattled. Trump himself, in his slippery way, suggested Mamdani's U.S. citizenship is questionable and he could be deported. The New York Post gleefully pounced on a piece of his personal history, probably a mistake he regrets. At 17 years old, Mamdani checked a box saying he was African-American when applying for a place at Columbia University. The Post quoted, anonymously of course, someone in Harlem it emptily described as a, quote, longtime local, saying, "He's a foreigner. He ain't no African-American." You know, I can easily imagine a 17-year-old saying to himself, "My family's from Uganda, and I grew up in America, ergo I'm African-American." In any case, the thin smear of mud didn't stick, and Mamdani won the vote. The Post has continued, though, in headlines and in the main body of its stories, to call him a nepo baby, as in nepotism, and a child of privileged parentage, which seems a bit rich, considering his father is a teacher, and the opponent he beat, Andrew Cuomo, ex-governor of the state, had a father who was a governor before him. Now, I don't know the younger Mamdani at all, but I have crossed paths over decades, as it happens, with his father. It started as I was covering the international crisis that exploded when Uganda's vicious dictator, Idi Amin, expelled his country's entire minority community of South Asians, making them stateless. Mahmoud Mamdani was born to a family that originated in India's Gujarat region, and at that point he was just about my own age, both of us in our early 20s, and he'd gotten a job as a teaching assistant at the country's Makerere University. But after only a few months in post, he was deported, ending up living in a refugee camp in the UK. Not what I would call a privileged background. He did, though, start carving out an academic career in several African countries and in the US, writing many authoritative works on colonialism. So 20 years passed, and here in New York, when I was an annually visiting lecturer at Columbia Journalism School, Mahmoud was appointed the university's professor of government and also director of its Institute of African Studies. Then and subsequently, he generously advised me on several journalistic projects that I came to pursue concerning post-colonial Africa. Mahmoud's son, now candidate Zoran, calls himself a democratic socialist and enjoys the support of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But just as pertinent is that whichever political theory may guide him, he has in practice proved to be that very rare politician, one who can actually expand the electorate. Voting turnout for the primary at over 1 million New Yorkers was the highest recorded in decades. Media commentators have seemed overwhelmed by what they've variously called his mosaic of supporters, his unprecedented coalition, and most of all, his unexpected energizing of younger voters and first-time voters of all ages. Perhaps his most remarkable achievement, still puzzling for some anti-Trump-minded observers, was that he persuaded previous Trump voters to come over to him. Extraordinary. He sought them out and respectfully listened to them and their concerns, which unsurprisingly focused on rising prices for essentials like groceries that candidate Trump had promised to bring down, and Mamdani very evidently addressed those concerns. In fact, the biggest drum he banged was the message of affordability. "Freeze the rent," was his most highly redolent slogan. And that's extra important in New York, where cynics have long echoed an old catchphrase, "The landlords own New York City, and they rent its mayors." But not this one, it seems, if, as is highly likely, he does become mayor in November. He also promoted free and faster public transportation. On the buses, that is, for now. The still heavily cost-burdened subway system will, I guess, have to be tackled later. And his message worked, yoked as it was to a tsunami of not just smart viral videos online, but also in real life grassroots mobilization and canvassing. His team reckons they knocked on nearly 2 million doors. Unlike the Cuomo campaign, which seemed to rely lazily on its hefty slew of mega donors, paying for traditional schedule-hogging television advertising. Mamdani volunteers also hosted picnics and social gatherings, in the process stirring what for years has been regarded as a sleeping giant in local politics, one with enormous untapped potential. On voting day, they were tapped and became the engine that overturned a moribund establishment. Even one infamously tricky piece of political territory was negotiated with surprising deftness by Mamdani and his people, the matter of Israel, and most pointedly, the war in Gaza. It's inevitably highly sensitive, given the much-vaunted statistic that New York is home to the world's largest Jewish population outside of Israel, numbering 1.5 million people. Mamdani made no secret of his support for the Palestinian people, even riskily employing some of their own militant rhetoric, talking of, quote, "globalizing the Intifada." It didn't do him much harm. The overall numbers have proven that. And in some more granular examination, it surprisingly didn't harm him in some specific and surprising voter segments. Even Rabbi Moshe Indig, a Hasidic leader in Brooklyn, told the New York Times, quote, "He came across to be a very nice guy, very humble. As mayor, we wouldn't have a problem with him." On the national electoral scene, the affordability issue as templated by Mamdani could well improve the Democratic Party's prospects as a whole, especially if the Trump tariffs regime of complete confusion results in more consumer price inflation, as is being predicted by Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley Research, and other finance powerhouses. And on international matters, even the Democratic Party's long-standing position on Israel could be open to a sizable shift. A recent survey by The Economist magazine and the YouGov polling organization has indicated that 46%, nearly half, of America's declared Democrats now want the U.S. to reduce military aid to the Jewish state. That's a complete reversal of the message Democrats were telling Gallup's pollsters only a decade ago, when a whopping majority of them favored Israel over the Palestinians, by 58% as against only 23%. But the party leaders, Chuck Schumer in the Senate and Hakeem Jeffries in the House, still oppose making U.S. military support conditional upon Israel's willingness to uphold human rights. And this, for now, places them in a clear conflict with their own party's base. Is change possible? Well, on his primary victory night, Mamdani neatly cited Nelson Mandela, saying, quote, "It always seems impossible until it is done." With some determined appeal to the electorate on vital domestic and international issues as well, the Democrats nationally could make the Mamdani approach work for them. The coalition aroused in New York, especially those previously unlikely voters and newly energized younger people, could be not only here to stay, it could, if well cultivated, grow month by month. That's all from the Media Beat for this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.com.